Middle of hour number two, as promised. We are joined right now by the president of basketball operations for the Denver Nuggets. Previously served as GM and executive VP of basketball ops. He did join the Nuggets back in 2013. Big game at Phoenix this evening. Game two. Good friend of the program. He is Tim Connolly. Tim, it is so good to have you back. Tim, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
So good to have you. So a lot going on right now, and I want to get into the matchup in a moment. But yesterday it became official when Nikola Jokic was announced as the league MVP. You and I have talked about him for quite some time, but now that this is official, what did that moment mean to you and to the organization and team?
It was surreal. I mean, his story is so atypical, and his path to being an MVP is probably one we'll never see again, from second-round pick to even a guy who wasn't didn't play a ton of national ball with the Serbian team when he was younger. So, you know, we thought it was going to happen. We knew he was deserving, but to actually hear Adam say that he was the MVP, it was a special moment and kind of made you get goosebumps.
Yeah, I mean, Tim, you mentioned he was a second-round pick. It's been nearly 7 years since he was drafted with the 41st pick overall. I know you're not looking to make it about you or claim credit. You would never do that. But if you were to take me back, what do you remember about the first time you saw him play?
His basketball IQ, his passing. He played at his own speed. You know, he's a guy that was a step ahead. You know, he saw things where other people didn't see it. A lot of the same things you see now. Just he's grown into his body. He's taken much more care of his body, but I think that was the thing that jumped out back when, you know, he was a kind of a chubby 6'10 kid, just his feel for the game.
See, what about that? Like, you saw things that others did not see. As an example, you know, he's got that real unique style, but one executive told The Athletic that he liked him, but the GM did not, because he thought he was too slow, too unathletic, and, quote, just did not quite conceptualize how special he was. So my question is, how were you guys able to conceptualize how special he was?
Yeah, first of all, I wouldn't be pumped if one of our scouts was telling me he liked the guy we didn't take.
Yeah, right? Then sure there is that. Good point.
I'm sure that guy's shooting 1,000. I like to hear all the guys he liked and didn't like.
Oh, man.
You know what? We were lucky. We had we have such a great staff that prevents me from making a bunch of boat-in mistakes. Spent a lot of time in Europe. Our Taurus is now running the Bulls, is, you know, a legend over there. So we were able to kind of compare apples to apples. Nikola to similar European or international bigs, not what they were at the time in 2014, but what they were at the same age. So it helped add a little context and make the thing a bit more clear. I think when you draft a guy, you know, it's about projection, it's not about reporting. So that gave us a bit of hope that he could develop into something more than what we saw on draft night.
Tim Connolly joining us. Tim, one of the first things you mentioned when I asked you about him was IQ. So let me ask you about his hoops IQ. Like, he does things on the court that I've never seen before, and he processes things so quickly. Like, for instance, that pass to Michael Porter Jr. in Game 5 against the Blazers, from a double team, lofting it over a third defender into a perfect spot for MPJ in the corner. Like, you've been around the game a long, long time. How significant is his ability to process and execute like that?
He's brilliant. Like, I joke, I call him like an algorithm. You know, he processes the information, and he spits out the correct answer. I might have mentioned to you in times past, they say Ted Williams could see the stitch of a baseball. I think that's how his mind works. I think the game must appear so slow to him because he sees things that no one on the court sees, no one on the bench sees. He's just brilliant. And he's like that in all hand-eye coordination games. We're in the ball and spike ball, he was great. He played some dumb game in pool, he was great. If it's hand-eye coordination, you know, he's an elite player at any sport.
I think that description's awesome. Like, he's an algorithm. You know, and then the other thing that keeps coming up is, like, he's such a good dude. He's such a good dude. But don't confuse him being a great dude with him not being competitive, because he certainly is that. Like, how would you describe that balance between those two parts of his personality?
He's the nicest, most normal guy ever. No social media, doesn't seek fame. I can't imagine how much money he's turning down for marketing. Great wife, great close-knit family, two awesome brothers. My mom and dad are amazing. He is a killer on the court, and he steps off the court, and he's the same goofy, unassuming guy. Likes to crack jokes, very dry sense of humor, very irreverent. But he's matured, but there hasn't been one bad part of change since he's gotten this league, and it's pretty amazing.
It is. Tim Connelly joining us. It goes without saying, Tim, I'm a huge Michael Malone fan. He said recently, the greatest thing that I can say about Nikola is that he fully represents the culture that we have created here in Denver, end of quote. See, the culture is something, and you and I have talked about this, but the reason I always go back to this, it's fascinating to me. You're the only team of the Final Four from last year that's still playing, and you're doing it after losing Jamal Murray. How much of that is about culture?
I think it's a ton. It's a huge testament to Mo and his staff. Those guys are tremendous. There's nobody better in the league, I think. Certainly biased, but those guys are the preparedness, their attention to detail, their day-to-day approach. It's inspiring, and it helps create beliefs with our players. And then I think Nikola is kind of reflective of who we want to be as an organization, kind of who Denver is a city. We're, not the prettiest girl at the dance, but we work hard. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And cross our fingers and hope you win some games.
I talked to Tim Connelly. I think you guys do an amazing job, especially in the front office. Like, you lose a superstar like Jamal Murray, and I think that would end the season for a lot of teams. Obviously not yours. I'm kind of trying to wrap my head around that still and understand it. I mean, on some level, does that even kind of a surprise to you? Like, I know you're not going to fold the tent, but to lose a guy like that and to be where you are right now, is that at all surprising to you?
Absolutely. I'd be disingenuous. I told you, I thought the night Jamal goes down, and soon thereafter we lose Will, and then we lose PJ Dozier. So three of our top four guards. You try to be realistic. You try to project, okay, this is what our roster looks like now. How can we improve it? We had huge additions from Austin Rivers and Shaq Harrison. They've been godsends with all the injuries. And then I think, again, it speaks to Nikola's greatness, and it speaks to the ability of Mo and his staff to adjust on the fly. You know, the ability to be nimble is one of the greatest strengths the coach staff can have, and they've certainly shown that time and time again.
Glad you mentioned Austin Rivers. I was going to ask you about him next anyway. He had been with the Knicks. He was traded to OKC and then waived. He did not play in an NBA game for more than 2 months. I've always liked this guy's attitude, his edge, his grit, you know, that thing that he brings with him to it every single time. He's had some enormous moments in the playoffs. What did you see in him that let you know that he'd be a good fit?
Again, we were lucky because I was with Austin his rookie year, so I knew him. So we maintained a relationship. In this league, it's hard when you get labeled. If you're lucky enough to have a relationship, you can have a first-hand opinion, not rely on others. We knew he was competitive. We knew he played a lot of big games. He was part of the really good Houston teams. He can guard. He's not scared of the moment. So I think the competitiveness and just ability to play on both ends jumped out. And where we are now, whether it's Austin or the 30-year-old rookie in Campazzo, I think the reason we've been able to sustain a level of success is because those guys aren't scared of it. You know, they're not wide-eyed right now in big moments. So all those things allowed Austin to come in and hit the ground running. He's been fantastic.
Tim Connelly joins me for another moment or so. You dropped that first game against the Suns. So what kind of thoughts did you have coming out of that game as you get ready for tonight?
You know, we were playing well. I think we're up 70-60, and then they just stepped in the throat. They played fantastic basketball. The building was awesome. We got great fans. Monty's a really close friend. He's a heck of a coach. We knew it was going to be a tough series. Chris Paul's one of the best manipulators and game managers we've ever seen. So they play the right way. They play hard. They execute. They fly around. So hopefully we can bounce back. You know, we've struggled in a lot of game ones over the last couple of years, and our resiliency has helped us in game two. So fingers crossed that's the case this evening.
But Tim, you got a hell of a coach yourself, but you mentioned Monty, like, and you're good friends, as you also point out. What do you think about him as a coach and a leader and a motivator? I mean, obviously, he's such a distinguished guy and such a class act, but as a basketball mind and basketball man, what are your thoughts on Monty Williams?
He's great. You know, Monty, myself, Monty Moe, we're all New Orleans, as well as Willie Green, Randy Ayers. So these connections between the two teams are plentiful, but Monty's, brilliant mind. An unbelievable attention to detail guy, and he loves basketball. I think a lot of times the passion is what separates the good from the great, and you know, he's certainly a great coach.
Tim, last thought. You and I talked last year during the bubble. So how different do these playoffs feel now that fans are back in the building?
Last game was awesome. It wasn't awesome when they're on a 22-4 run, but to look around. When we were playing Portland, there was a moment in that double overtime game after Dame's third or fourth dagger three where I almost got emotional looking at the fans. It felt like the last 15 months is finally light at the end of the tunnel, and it was great. The Phoenix fans are amazing. I can't wait for Friday night for Nikola to receive the trophy in Denver, and it's it's encouraging. You know, it's been a tough year for all of us.
Boy, that's the truth. It's going to be awesome. Game two, Denver at Phoenix this evening. He is the president of basketball operations for the Denver Nuggets, Tim Connolly, my guest. Tim, I really appreciate you, and especially a conversation like that the night of a game. Tim, thanks so much. Good luck tonight.
Thanks as always, Rome. I appreciate it, man.
You got it. Great talking to you, Tim. Much respect to you. And the way they handle themselves, man, that is such a great front office. Also, quick shout-out to my guy, Nick O'Hare, for making that thing work. Nick does an amazing job with the Nuggets, and he helped set that interview up. My thanks to Nick and Tim Connolly both. Big game tonight.